hands are nailed.
You say that?
Yes, sir.
We're going to beat their ass in recruiting. We're going to beat their ass every time they see us.
Oh, God.
You understand that?
Yes, sir.
Roll that one. Fuck you.
All right. Thank you for joining the ESBC Sports Betting Podcast. We're doing the college football edition. And happy today we got two reinforcements on our short term investment strategy, really that's what it is, and risk mitigation. I have an MBA, securities licenses, wealthy clients. So I have a responsibility to protect the public. And the way we do it is using business and financial concepts in sports betting. And I also do, you know, business consulting, right? That's most 90% of business consultants have no idea what they're doing at all, right? So I call it business concierge. So I always tell all my business owners, right? This one guy who's real arrogant, he says, Josh, I can care less about my employees. I can care less about my wife. I like my mistresses better than I like my wife and kids. And he thinks he's super smart. Owns a chemical company, 30 million liquid, right? He has, we're getting him a little bit diversified off of just cash. But I tell him and I tell everybody, if you're the smartest, toughest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. So to break down college football, which at this point we're at 62 up, 33 down, right? 65%, which means close to right around $24,000 is where I'm at, because I'm kind of conservative. But you combine that with football, which were $29,000, that's $60,000 through the first 4 or 5 weeks of college and pro football. My wife and I are always almost close to that next tax bracket. And now Joe Biden wants to take even more of it. So why not have fun sports betting, but got to use decision science this best year. So there's two guys here. I might be tougher than them. I might be able to bench press more than both of them, but both these guys are faster than I am and smarter than I am. Got Dylan from St. John's University. Finance major. And remember, New York and the Northeast, that's the birthplace of finance. We're using those concepts to bet on a game. Thank you for joining us, Dylan.
Thank you for having me, Josh. I'm excited to give some picks.
All right. No, yeah. Very excited. You're using what you're learning in school right now. You're applying it, right? Yep. Just like Zuckerberg and Bill Gates did their junior years at a really prestigious Northeast University. You're applying it. You're making money. You've been close to 80% on the podcast. So good job.
I just lost lighting in this room. There we go.
Then we got Chad Nolan, starting wide receiver and safety for your Las Vegas Knights. He's a veteran of the CFL. He was a college football player, right? He has been worked out with the likes of Cam Newton, Isaiah Bolton, Bolden, right? And Ross. Yeah. John Ross.
Plethora, guys. Dylan.
So, Chad, thanks. Thanks for coming on.
Happy to be here.
Yeah, what's been your percentage the last 2 weeks of NFL football?
Man, I think so. 2 weeks ago, I was 70%. And then last week, I was like right at 60%. So, really big. Big 2 weeks. I think I've been doing slightly better in NFL than I have in college. Say my college, I'm probably 57, 58% on the year. My NFL is probably about 65% on the year.
Right. And it's crazy. ESPN says you can't get above 55. Yeah. they need to look at our picks. Look at the spreadsheet we got going. We verify. And Dylan, before we get going on your picks,
yeah,
you've been like, you're like around 65, 70% on the podcast.
Yep, I'm hovering right above 60% right now for my college picks. Yep.
Nice. Good job.
And pretty similar for NFL as well, yeah.
Exactly. And they say you can't do it, and we're showing people how to do it. Yep. We're not just doing it. We're showing people how to do it. All right, so let me make sure I get it. Make sure the live stream's on YouTube. So I'll give the picks once I get the live stream going. The picks for tonight. We do a lot of betting strategy, but we're going to go fast tonight. One game that's going to be interesting Friday night before we get to the Saturday picks is Stanford, right?
Yep.
I ended up getting Stanford. I bet Stanford twice this week. Right when I saw it, plus 11, I bet it. So I bet it again today at plus 14 and a half.
I got it at plus 14.
Yeah.
So we got it plus 13. So we all got it slightly different numbers.
Yeah. Right. And the thing is, right, you always have to shop around for the best numbers before you go to Vegas. You do that. But games like this have gone both ways for me as far as, wow, that line is crazy. And it feels like you made easy money. And then sometimes it's going, oh, you know what? Vegas was right about it, whatever it is. So kind of analyze the whys, what the heck is going on with Stanford, Arizona State, that line, because I didn't do my research, due diligence. I checked the Stanford has a really good student newspaper, right? Maybe the St. John's has a good student newspaper where the kids actually do pretty good reporting. University of Florida is doing good with their student newspaper. They have the whole athletic department really pissed off. So that's part of it. Number two rule of betting is research. That we'll put the top 10 rules of betting on the link. So tonight I got Stanford 14 and a half, Temple plus 30. Another line. I do not know why it's so high. It's astronomical. 30 is a lot of points. And Temple played really good last week against a decent team. So I don't know what they're thinking of that. So those are my two picks for Friday night.
And Temple's looking pretty good. We are
live on Facebook. On YouTube. All right, guys. So, Dylan, what do you got for us? You already want to know. Coastal Carolina minus 19 yesterday.
Yeah, Coastal Carolina really took it to Arkansas State last night and look to keep it rolling tomorrow, starting with Ole Miss at noon East Coast time. I'm going to take Ole Miss minus 5.5 against Arkansas. Both these schools are coming off losses to probably the top two teams in the nation, with Arkansas getting blown out by Georgia and Ole Miss losing to Alabama. I think Ole Miss is going to bounce back stronger in this one than Arkansas will. If you watch the game with Ole Miss and Alabama, the score didn't really reflect the way the game went. There was times in the game where you thought maybe Ole Miss will be able to crack into this, stay with them a little bit. I still think Matt Corral is likely going to be a Heisman favorite as the season progresses, and this is going to be a big statement game for him coming back off the loss to Bama. The game's home in Oxford, Mississippi, and I think they're going to put on a show in front of the home fans.
Right, and the over-under on that is 66.5.
The over-under is probably a little steep in my mind as well. I don't know.
Right.
Two good scoring teams, but nonetheless, I think it's a little inflated.
Yeah. So that's a good pick. You got Ole Miss at home, Lane Kiffin against Arkansas. Then I think Arkansas, they're going to be a little depleted going into there.
Yep.
So they have a good defense. So their pride was hurt last week. So I'm going to take the under 67 on that game. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to wait for Chad to give me his opinion. I'm going to check something real quick before I give an opinion on that game. Go ahead, Chad.
Well, on this Ole Miss game?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was a game that I definitely was kind of looking at. I just didn't have enough time to really get my research in. But, I mean, I totally agree with everything Dylan said. I mean, Ole Miss, Matt Corral coming back off that game. It's a big game for him to show what he can do back in front of the home crowd. You know, I Arkansas's offense just doesn't impress me. They didn't impress me against Texas A&M. They didn't impress me against Georgia. Their quarterback, you know, he can't really throw the ball. You know, he's a thrower, not a passer, as Josh always says. You know, so quarterback play, Ole Miss is 10 times better. I think Ole Miss is a lot better of a team. Like you said, that Bama game could have been very different. In front of that home crowd, getting under a touchdown. You know, I like that all the way up to 6.5, 7. I think Ole Miss wins that game by a touchdown easily. So I like that pick.
Right. And one thing I always look at, and I got the SEC pulled up here. So I look at last year's games because coaches hate to lose to the same guy twice, especially in recruiting. They'll say, hey, we'll beat your ass. We beat their ass twice. Why the hell are you going over there to play for them? So Lane Kiffin, his daddy, Monty Kiffin, we're over the summer looking at Arkansas. it's funny because my wife makes fun of Arkansas because she's from Florida, saying Arkansas. But then I heard the governor commercial for the governor's race, and the lady running for governor, Huckabee, who used to be in the Trump White House, called him Arkansas. So I'm going to agree 100% with Dylan, man. And I'm going to go those. I'm going to go Lane Kiffin.
Cool.
-5, under 67. All right. And what's the next game we got dialed up for?
I'm going to stay in the SEC here. I'm going to roll with Georgia over Auburn. This is kind of a pick that I'm getting on here because I feel like you don't want to miss this Georgia train too many times. They've steamrolled over teams week in and week out. Their defense is so dominant. To be honest, I know Bo Nix and the Auburn offense showed some signs of life against LSU last week, but I think they're not going to be able to move the ball very well against Georgia. Last week against Arkansas, Georgia only gave up 9 first downs the entire game. This is a game to me that a dominant win against Auburn by over 2 touchdowns will be perfect to add to their resume, as they're going to be a college football playoff team, obviously, and a championship contender at the end of the year. So,
all right. Actually, I'm going to go the other way on this one.
All right.
And this is the reason why. It's because that defense, and you can't argue too much with them because they've won a lot of championships. They won a lot of Super Bowls. It's Kirby Smart's defensive coordinator for Nick Saban. And Nick Saban's defense, Nick Saban's defense and Bill Belichick's defense, right, do not account for the quarterback. So Bo Nix, with some miraculous plays last week, yep, right?
He is talented.
He's going to run. He's going to have to run, right? He's going to have to run. I expect him to run. And he's going to keep it plus that 15.5. Vegas put that there for a reason, because Dylan's right, man. Kirby Smart, because he's relying on that defense, he wants to keep that defense fresh, keep him off the field. They're going to have that power running game with Todd Monken. Todd Monken, head coach in college, NFL offensive coordinator, going to develop that running game, has that running game with a monstrous offensive line, running backs, and they're going to play an old-school Southern smash-mouth football game that's going to really cut the game in half. The clock's going to run. He's going to play conservative. He's going to pin Auburn deep. Auburn's going to get to the 45-yard line, and then they're going to punt, right? So let me see what the over-under is on this game.
46.5.
How much?
46.5.
46.5. So Vegas is saying, too, this could be a low-scoring game, so I'm going to stay away from that. That's actually pretty good, because this could be a fourth quarter game where in the fourth quarter, Georgia turns the real offense on and scores a couple touchdowns, but doesn't cover what Dylan has is 15.5. So I'll take it to 16. Really at 15's already. I'll leave it at that. I'm going to go your Auburn Tigers plus 15 and a half against Georgia. Now, Chad will break the tie.
Man, so I'm kind of in the middle on this one. Do we know if JT Daniels is expected to play for Georgia, or are they going with their backup again?
They won't say till game time.
Yeah.
But I suspect that at some point he has a lat injury. He played the game before, and he's practicing with the ones. So I think if it's a close game, he'll be there in the second half if he doesn't start.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's something that I'll be looking at before. You know, this might be a game I'm probably going to stay off. If I had to pick one side, I think I'm leaning a little bit Josh's way just because, you know, Vegas is telling us the total is 46.5, so we know it's going to be lower scoring.
Right.
And with a 15-point number over that key number of 14, you know, I think that, you know, it's harder to cover larger spreads when the total is lower. It's right. A lower scoring game. It's you know, they're telling us that it's going to be kind of a lower scoring game, which is going to be harder for that team to cover 15 points over that key number. I could easily see Georgia winning this game by 14.
Right.
17 with a late field goal or a late drive, 21. I really do like Bo Nix. I think the way he can run, and he's not just fast. He's a physical guy too. He can, you know, really, you know, take some load of carrying the ball.
Right.
So yeah, I would lean Auburn plus 15 because of the total being so low and it being over that key number of 15 and the uncertainty with the Georgia starting quarterback. But yeah, that's going to be a game time decision for me. I'm not jumping on anything right now. I'm going to be watching that line and reading up and seeing what the pregame is looking like and make a decision late.
All right.
Fair enough.
So, and the thing about Bo Nix is that he can tire out the defensive line chasing him around all day. So they can get like a cheap late score, either with a backdoor cover, right?
No, yeah. Essentially what you're kind of banking on here being someone backing Georgia is you're going to think Auburn's not going to score. You know? Right. That's kind of – you're going maybe they'll score a touchdown or a field goal, but you're kind of banking on not too much more than that.
Right.
Because then it starts to get a little iffy.
Right. But, all right. So that's that game. What's the other game? One here, I'm very impressed. What's the next game you got, Dylan?
Yeah, so the next game, I'm going to double bet in the same game. I'm going to take a total and a side here. I'm going to go to the University of Texas San Antonio against Western Kentucky game here. And this game, I'm going to take the over, and I'm going to take UTSA plus 3.5. So Western Kentucky – so far this year, they haven't been able to run the ball basically whatsoever, but their offense actually, I mean, their passing attack actually ranks best in the nation. They average 440 yards through the air per game. They're an over machine so far. They've hit the over total in five of their last five games. The total for this game is sitting at 70 right now. Texas San Antonio is 6-1 against the spread in their last seven. They are a very strong team this year as well, very experienced team. And I think they're going to stay right with them. There's going to be an old-fashioned shootout right down to the wire. And I think Texas San Antonio will come out on top. I'm going to take the points to as a little cushion for myself. And I think they're going to hit a high over total in this one.
I 100% agree with the over on this. Over on this game. Now, I watch Western Kentucky every week because last year, playing for Houston Baptist football, it's Ben Rathlaff. And Ben Rathlaff is a receiver on the Western Kentucky team. He hasn't caught as much balls as he did when he was at Houston Baptist, but the same offensive coordinator does at Houston Baptist is the same offensive coordinator for Western Kentucky, right? So Keeley, his best friend is Clingsbury, who Clingsbury is the air raid. He's the head coach of your Arizona Cardinals, all right? So it's going to be a high-scoring game. Western Michigan came back. Well, Western Kentucky came back after Michigan State, right? Michigan State. All right, here we go. They were playing Michigan State, and it was a back-and-forth game. They kind of got beat up. So this line's at 3.5-4. San Antonio's coming up there to play them. So that's one that we're going to be opposites on. Dylan's going to be fine after he's going to win, because I think Western Kentucky, it is going to go over for sure. We agree on that.
Definitely.
Western Kentucky is going to roll them.
All right.
All right. So you guys see this right here?
Yep.
So when we talk plus one with Bo Nix, this is what we're talking about. You got six offensive linemen. He's got a blocker here. He's got a blocker here. So he's got eight blockers. You got on the front, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 in the box. So let me ask you this question, Dylan. If you got eight blockers and seven in the box, right?
Yep.
It's you got over plus one. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
So the opposite is true, right? But it's easier said than done, right? If we were on there, we have no idea where the front is, right? And then you have the safety. And look where his eyes are. His eyes are in the backfield. You can't do that because you're going to get behind. So this is a one-shell defense. Now, if 35 was back, right, that would be a two-shell defense, all right? All right. Got a little high take here with Doker. Yeah.
What do you guys have for that total? What number do you guys give it?
I got it at 70 flat last night.
Okay. So it looks like it's going up. It looks like it's
right.
It's 71 right now.
Okay.
So get it now. So people listen to the live stream and we'll post it right away.
That's probably
get that number now. Now get that over now. Because I've seen it fly up to 79.
71.5 on mine right now. I'm gonna jump on 71.5. I think that thing's gonna keep going up till game time. Probably see it 73.
Yeah. No, I like where we're going with Dylan, man. Some good stuff. This is the best sports betting podcast in the history.
Yes, sir.
Of all times in the history of sports betting. So you got something on that. Those Kentucky Wildcats with Coach Stoops, right?
Yep.
Coach Stoops, the SEC. And you got – what are your thoughts on that game, Dylan?
Yep, so Kentucky is 5-0 in their last five games at home, and they're undefeated so far this year. So I think some may view this game after coming off a big game against Florida. You might think this is going to be like a letdown game from them. They're going to pull back, maybe regress back to the mean a little bit. Right. But I think that this is going to be a spot where they continue to build on all the success they've had so far this year, and they're going to keep rolling. And they're going to roll over an LSU team that is weaker than they've been in past years. And I think Kentucky is going to come out victorious in this one.
All right. So now I could be biased, right? Because you got to look at what your biases are. Because, Dylan's probably right about Heisman Trophy winner Matt Corral. But Chad and I think that the Heisman Trophy favorite right now is Chad's brother at Oregon State, Chance Nolan. We say that because we're biased. Made me
so funny last week, so.
Yeah, man, listen to us, man. We're the Oregon State football
experts. He's made me money. He's 6-1 against the spread as a starter.
There you go. That's incredible. Wow.
he's cash money, man.
That's incredible.
7-1 after this week, man. I'm going to keep riding.
right. And I bet all those games and Oregon State basketball. I'm actually like 19-0 in Oregon State. I was like jogging today and I was thinking to myself, I'm donating $10,000 to USF because that's where I graduated from this year. I'm going to have to donate some of my betting winnings to Oregon State, man. The tax
right.
For winning. So I could be biased because of Coach O. I don't know Coach O. He could be a complete jerk. He divorced his wife because Does she divorce him for neglect? All he does is recruit and watch film. And they lost last week, right?
Yep.
He gets loses two in a row, they might fire him, like Les Miles. The players love him. Kentucky, see, LSU is more of a blue blood program.
100%.
Kentucky's a developmental program. And Coach Stoops has done a bang up job. His dad died. Daddy Stoops, who has all the coach. His dad died at an Ohio football game where he was the volunteer defensive coordinator. He didn't have to do it. All his sons have made millions and millions of dollars. Bob Stoops won the national title, right? And he's a volunteer defensive coordinator on the sideline when he died of a heart attack in quadruple overtime when his high school kicker missed the extra point. That's how Daddy Stoops' dad died. So he dialing up great game plans. He was at home against Florida. Very physical game. The whole SEC did illegal hitting. That's why they've been more physical. They're going to be beat up. LSU's going to want it a little bit more. So for that, I'm gonna go against what Dylan's saying. What do you think, Chad?
I really don't have any input in this game. I was on Kentucky last week because you told me it looks good and I trust you. I have not seen Kentucky or LSU play this year. Like I miss LSU UCLA game. I've been kind of keeping up with what they've been doing, but I have not seen either team play. So based off the rules of betting, that is a game that I really should not bet.
It's perfect.
Probably going to stay off of because haven't seen either team play. I trusted you last week, you know, with Kentucky. You know, I know you do your research, and we got that one right.
Never bet blindly.
But yeah, I really don't. I haven't watched these teams close enough. I haven't done the research on this one. I can't really break this tie.
Since I lived 20 years in the South, I instinctively follow the SEC out of pure habit.
Oh, yeah. You can see, like, out of my 8 picks tomorrow, I have 4 from the SEC just because that's what I want to watch all day long.
Right, exactly. You have the best athletes. They got the most players in the NFL. Alabama, by themselves, has 70 players in the NFL, including 3 starting quarterbacks.
Yep.
And that's your next pick. So we got a split decision, man. That's why people have to make their own picks.
Yeah.
Maybe both Dylan and I win this because I took the extra number plus 4 LSU against Kentucky. I think it's an overreaction on Kentucky. They do not have, if you measure it, I love betting a dog when I know my team, and it's my team for a day, LSU, because I bet on it. But when I know my team has more talent, LSU has more talent than Kentucky man-to-man.
I agree.
Definitely. And coming off a loss. All right. What's the next game, Dylan?
Yeah, sure. So next up is going to be Michigan -3 against Nebraska. So Michigan's traveling down to Nebraska tomorrow. I think Nebraska doesn't do enough defensively that they're going to be able to create turnovers against Michigan. And Michigan's offense isn't really complex enough to the point where they're going to make a lot of mistakes. They're very traditional with the way that they operate. I think Michigan will just run the ball. Their defense is it's proven that they can come up with big stops when they need it so far this year. They're 4-1 against the spread in their last 5. And I think by a field goal against Nebraska is a fair line for them. And I definitely like them there.
Yeah, I love that pick, man. That's one of my 6 picks.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, that's one of mine. I think I kept doing my research. I couldn't figure out why that line is so low. I mean,
right,
I
get it. Which kind of scares me. A little bit because exactly, I was that was when I first went through the board. That one stood out to me the most.
Jumped out exactly. Right away.
And whenever that happens, though, I'm kind of like, all right, why is this? Like, what's wrong with it? But
what do they know? I mean, I watched Nebraska lose Illinois the first game of the season.
Yes.
Yeah. I've watched Nebraska a couple times, man. They're very underwhelming.
Yeah.
I love Harbaugh. I love what Michigan's been doing. I mean, I can get them at 2.5. There Michigan winning by a field goal. I mean, that's beautiful. I don't know what Vegas knows that we don't know, but that's, I think that's one of the best plays of the day on the board for real.
Yeah.
What do you think? Yeah, no, I 100% agree with that. So we got three in agreement. So maybe people can double down on that one. Because we're all liking the Wolverines minus three at Nebraska. The other thing, too, is that Scott Frost seems to have trouble with special teams. And that's something Michigan excels at. All right, what's the next game we got for Dill?
Yep, so to go to the next one, back to the SEC, taking Alabama minus 18 against Texas A&M. It's a big line, but Texas A&M has been very underwhelming so far this year. I bet against them on a few occasions. I don't like anything that they're doing there right now. Their backup quarterback who came in early on in the season, he hasn't really shown much yet. I think Alabama is honestly, they're not really going to be challenged until they meet Georgia eventually. And kind of like I said with Georgia, how they're just going to keep rolling over teams. That's what I see with Alabama here. And it's one that you don't have to be afraid of the big line. I think that Bryce Young, their quarterback, is going to continue to impress and make his Heisman campaign this week with a big highlight reel.
Yeah. This is a game, Chad and I, we're going back and forth this week. What do you think, Chad?
Yeah, well, I know me and Josh have been going. I'm on your side, Dylan. I've been kind of liking the Bama minus 18.
Yeah.
I don't think that Texas A&M can really, you know, if Bama is covering that spread at any point, I just don't see Texas A&M coming back.
Me too. Yeah.
Offensively, I just don't see them scoring on Bama's defense.
Me neither. It could be one where maybe they get a few stops in the first half, hang around for a little bit, but I think eventually it's just going to.
I know, but, you know, Josh did make some good points just about Jimbo Fisher, the corporate governance there, and the booster money involved in Texas A&M, and how, you know, it is in his contract almost to cover these type of games because there is so much booster money of Texas A&M betting.
Being wagered on this game.
This Texas A&M plus 18 line, which kind of, you know, makes sense and does kind of scare me a little.
Yeah.
But if, you know, it's made me rethinking staying off of it. But if I have to bet this game, I'm with you, Dylan. I think Bama minus 18 is the better side. Cool. I just think they're so much more talented than Texas A&M. And Texas A&M's offense is just so bad. I just can't see them scoring.
I know. Bama. Me too.
Right. So they were saying they might do a Willis Reed thing. Willis Reed was this guy for the Knicks that came hurt. He stumbled onto a playoff game and the crowd went crazy. If they bring the original starter back, he's like the miracle starter. I think that'll pump a lot of people up. The way I've covered this game twice now, but this was with Mon at quarterback. Same line, plus 18. Jimbo is trying to cover the spread and he scores a couple of backdoor touchdowns in the fourth quarter. The mentality is what we saw last night. Peralta, whatever his name is, the ref guy. I don't listen. I've had it on mute for years. But with a double punt, right, I see him come on and I start laughing because the ref threw the flag. And I could tell that the ref threw the flag, right, because he didn't know what the hell just happened. He's like, what just happened? Let me just throw a flag so we can discuss this, right? And I read this morning where Peralta went out there and said, oh, you can't kick it twice. Well, yeah, you can. And then I pulled up the rule book, and I'll have a link to the rule book for you guys, NFL rule book on the spreadsheet we have. And Peralta just instinctively wanted to defend the refs. Oh, no, you can't do it. Yes, you can, right? So just that mentality of, and we're talking millions of dollars. Jimbo Fisher makes $10 million a year. He makes more than Satan. Satan makes $9 million a year. And I was actually on the inside how they structured Jim Harbaugh's contract with a life insurance policy where the money goes to a whole life policy. You can take the money in and out all you want, right, without paying taxes, tax mitigation. So those guys have those same types of deals. So with so much money involved, and then plus the 18 says something to me off a key number with a plus side. So purely off that, not even looking at the team's ability, that's the reason why you have Texas A&M. So like Stanford, what am I missing? Let's go watch this. And what I might be missing what your guys are saying, that Texas A&M's quarterback, especially not the starters, really sucks unless he takes off like Johnny Manziel. He's not going to do anything. All right, you got any more games? Dylan?
Yeah, I just have one last game, so I'm going to be taking Memphis plus +3 against Tulsa. It's now, I believe the line is now up to 3.5. I got it at 3 last night. I think Memphis has a good ground game this year. They're averaging 181 yards per game right now. Tulsa is has 9 turnovers through 5 games this season. 9 offensive turnovers. And their quarterback's thrown 8 picks already. I think that that's going to be the key in this contest. I think Memphis is going to be able to turn him over enough times in order to stay with them and win the game. I think Memphis actually has more talent than Tulsa as well. And as you're saying before, getting them as a dog, I like them in this spot tomorrow night.
Yeah, man, this is a game that I kind of briefly glanced over. Just like Memphis as a dog against Tulsa, I kind of just – I didn't do too much research on it, though. I don't have too much input. But definitely, I mean, everything you said I like. And I think that, you know, Memphis is a good team, giving me 3.5 points. And Tulsa's, you know, been inconsistent. I mean, I watched them lose to UC Davis first game of the year. I think Memphis is the better team here.
Yep.
And getting the 3.5 points over that key number. I like Memphis. I like Memphis a lot in this spot.
Yeah, Tulsa's 1-4 in the season right now. I think the only reason why the odds are really favoring them is because of the home team, but I still think by a field goal, I like Memphis.
Yep.
All right, so as you can see there, the pennant down there, I graduated from the University of South Florida. And out of habit, I studied the whole conference, which I really think that again, it could be biased, but based on performance, Cincinnati doing well, I feel that the American Conference is a better conference top to bottom than the Big 12 and the Pac-12 and the ACC. But again, it could be biased because I have a school that I graduated from there. And I donate $10,000 a year. That's why I say we, because I donate money to that. So I follow every team in the conference. Tulsa, teams go in 2-year cycles, right? So we said that in the preview podcast. Go in 2-year cycles. The top cycle was last year for Tulsa, right? They were 4-8 in 2019, 6-3 last year. Went to a bowl game. But they returned 10 on offense, 8 on defense, but they've only won 1 game, right? Last year when they played Memphis, they didn't play Memphis last year. So Memphis does have a better roster. I feel that this is a game that Dylan, thank you, Dylan, for bringing this game up, because I call this Vegas jacking people that do not do their research. I think the wrong team is favored at this, right? Yeah,
so do I.
It Jack said something about the numbers. So I'll take Memphis all day, every day.
Awesome.
Who knows? Maybe the head bookmaker got fired and they got like the cousin who so-and-so filling in, because some of these lines are way off. So am I missing something? I'm going to bet them anyways. This line seems way off. Memphis has a lot better roster from top to bottom. They beat Mississippi State, but they didn't just beat Mississippi State. They beat up Mississippi State. If you saw that game, it was a big game for me. Because I want that conference to do well. I want the University of South Florida to do well. So it was a big for the AAC to physically dominate an SEC team, right? And they did it. They outplayed Mississippi State, and then they won the game. So Memphis plus +4 at Tulsa. Tulsa's year was last year. That seems like that line is wrong.
Yep. It's almost like they put the plus and the minus for the wrong teams.
Right.
They flipped it.
Right. And then the over under 61, I can see this being an ultra shootout. Should easily go over those 61 points.
You like over 61, Josh?
Yeah, both teams are going to try to outscore each other. It's going to be kind of like that Tulsa-Houston game the other night. Well, all right. So you got Memphis Tigers, and you got benefactors, billionaire benefactors who earmark over $500 million towards the football program. And that's what Fred Smith did with that program. And that's why they're good, and that's why they can pay for coaches and assistants. Another thing to look at, Mike McIntyre, the defensive coordinator for Memphis, he's an elite coach. Remember Mike McIntyre at Colorado? He took that program from nowhere, and he got me chewed out of Colorado. All right, so I think we handled all the ones we're going to do. We're going to run through the Pac-12 real quick, and I'm going to tell chats my picks. Let me know what you think. What do you think, Dylan? And I know, Dylan, you have to go, so let me know anytime you have to go. We're cool, but this is where we're going to finish with.
All right.
For Pac-12, I got Arizona plus 17, over 61 points against your UCLA Bruins. You got two offensive coaches. I like Jed Fish at Arizona because he never played football. So I never played football, but I can say I know a little bit something about football, even though I never played. UCLA's defense is horrible. You know, Dylan, myself, and Chad, we can get eight other guys, and we can put 28 points on UCLA and Arizona, for that matter. So this has overwritten all over it, man. There's no defense going to be played in this game. And even if UCLA gets a big lead, Arizona's not going to stop trying to score. Jordan McLeod is lights out. I have no idea why he's not the starting quarterback for the University of South Florida. He threw five touchdowns against You Can't Finish University last year. Almost by himself, he won that rivalry game. It really, he was almost by himself winning games for USF. No line or nothing. He would run around and always find a way to win. Now at Arizona against UCLA, he wins the starting quarterback job. So that's why I'm doing that there. Again, a game I could be very biased with. I think Oregon State is going to roll over completely, just blow out Washington State. I didn't have time. I got interrupted by a high-paying client today. How dare they? But I was trying to find out if Washington State was going to have their coach. Irregardless, they're in disarray. They're trying to rely on the defense, or usually they're an offensive club, but defense wears down. They had a good game last week. I see them returning to a mean. Oregon State has a lot of momentum, right? And Chad's brother, his passion efficiency is about 70%, right? And they have a great running game. In the defense, I think, wants to keep themselves tight as they want to make a Pac-12 title run. All right, and then the last game I got is actually, I hate the Gators, right? All right, it's great to be a Florida Gator. If you get to understand, it's all just like, yeah, you know? So, but I got a minus 38. Because of the loss last week against Kentucky. Everybody's mad. People want Mullen fired. Mullen's an offensive guy. The defense has a lot of pride. So the prideful Florida defense is not going to let Vanderbilt score. Vanderbilt probably – actually, I was going to ask you about the UConn-UMass game, right?
That's my favorite. Hey, that under 57 is my favorite play of the day.
That's a toilet bowl. Yeah.
No, right. Because the winner gets to play Vanderbilt.
I mean,
I think Vanderbilt already played one of these losers.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, Vanderbilt's horrible roster.
I was going to say, all I need to know to agree with that pick is that UConn just played Vanderbilt last week, and UConn could have won the game. They lost by under a field goal. So, I mean, if UConn's hanging with Vanderbilt, Florida is going to blow them out of the water. They won't score. I agree.
And this is the other thing too, right? They're already a loser team. They already know they're going to lose.
Yep.
Gainesville inland, because at least where I lived on the Gulf, in Florida, there was a little bit of wind or something. There's no wind there. So you're down by 50 points and 100% humidity, 90% heat. You're not going to feel like going out there, especially on defense. Yeah, it's going to be nasty. Nasty. So you can see that? Yeah, 94% humidity.
Yeah, forget about it. Forget about it.
And you got full pads on and a mask, and you're down by 50 in the fourth quarter in the swamp. We call it the swamp for a reason.
Yep.
What do you think about those picks, Chad?
Vanderbilt is just so outmatched in that environment. It's going to get ugly. Yeah. But then I love too, like that UConn UMass game you brought up. One of my picks, I love the under of 57 in that game.
Right.
I think that both these teams haven't won a game. You know, they're both up. These are one of the three games they're getting motivated for. I think the motivation is going to be very high. They're both trying to get a win, man. You know, I was on a 1-10 and a 2-9 college team. And those games where you knew these are this is our only chance. You know, we got these two games on the schedule. So I'm expecting very, you know, good game plans, very good schematics. UConn is averaging 16.5 points a game. UMass is averaging 14.6 points a game. It's about a little over 31. Now, they're giving up both, you know, 40 and 47, but that's against much, you know, better talent and better offenses.
Right.
But with their offenses combined right at 31 points and that number 57, you know, you're giving me 26 extra points above, you know, 13. You're giving me two touchdowns on both sides for them to go over their season average and still give me that under. I think it's going to be a competitive game. I think those teams, you know, they got this game circled on the schedule. They're trying to get a win, man. They both have not won. A win does wonders, man. Having a season like that, man, a win can go a long way. So I think that's just going to be a really competitive game. And I think that number is just way too high. I think, you know, it should be more around 45,
yeah,
40, maybe 46. So I think, you know, we're getting 10, 11 points there. I really like that one to come under.
100%. That makes a lot of sense because Lou Spanos, I remember when he was a defensive coordinator at UCLA, and they had a bad defense, but he got them to play well. And they ended up being one of the better defenses in the Pac-12.
Yep.
All right, man, final words. I love this podcast. It was really good. We gave people a lot of really good information, making people a lot of money. We'll go Dylan and Chad with the final words.
I got three picks, Josh.
All right, go ahead.
I got USC minus 2.5 in the Coliseum against Utah.
We agree on that one.
I think they've been blown out by Stanford and Oregon State. Coach fired in bad fashion.
Right.
Utah is not very good offensively. They're pretty good defensively, but, you know, USC probably has the best talent when it comes to running back and receivers in the Pac-12. A lot of talent there, just skill set, size and speed wise, athleticism wise. I think they're going to win this game by 2-3 touchdowns. I think they're going to get a nice handily win. You know, they got, you know, they're 0-2 in the Coliseum. They got to get a win in front of their home crowd. You know, they had a kind of a good turnaround against Colorado last week. So I like USC to bounce back and get their first win in the Coliseum this year. Next pick I have is Middle Tennessee right here, plus 20 against Liberty. I think Liberty is very overvalued.
Right.
Minus 20 in this game. I think that is a very inflated line. I think with their quarterback, I think Liberty's been getting a lot of hype in the media. We're all over them losing to Syracuse. You know, Syracuse just lost to Florida State. Syracuse is not a world beater. It's not a, you know, a great team that they lost to. You know, Middle Tennessee against Charlotte 2 weeks ago had a great offense of performance. They put up 39. And then against Marshall last week, they put up 34, beat Marshall. Chase Cunningham, their quarterback, you know, was there. He's a walk-on, was there. My brother was there. He's turning a corner, I think, the last 2 weeks. Shaitan Mobley, a running back that I'm good friends with. We hung out a few times. My brother was there. Great kid.
He worked out with you, right? I remember you talking about he worked out with you.
He's going to come out here and train with me for his NFL, his draft prep. But, man, he went for 15 carries for 132 last week. He is a 6 foot, 230-pound bruiser, and he wears teams down. I think Middle Tennessee is going to be able to keep this one close. They're going to be able to score some points on Liberty's defense. 20 points is just too much in that one. So I really like Middle Tennessee.
I like your logic on that.
Yeah, plus that
too. The plus 20. And then also I like Florida State plus 17.5 against the Tar Heels. They've played really close games all through. They lost to Notre Dame in overtime. They lost by 8 points to Louisville. They just beat Syracuse last week.
Yeah, talked you into that one.
Yeah, I think that the talent there at Florida State is they're a talented team. They might be more talented than North Carolina. Mackenzie Milton is a Heisman caliber quarterback, and he's coming into his stride. I just think Florida State is going to, they might lose this game by two touchdowns. I just think 17.5 is too many points there. I like Florida State to cover that one. And then my final pick of the day is Louisville at home minus 2.5 against Virginia. Louisville has I've watched them a few times this year. We bet them against You Can't Finish University.
Right.
For us, they covered Florida State. They covered last week against Wake Forest. They lost a heartbreaker by 3 points.
Right.
I like them to come back from that heartbreaking loss to Wake Forest against a team I think they're better than. I really like their quarterback. He can go get you 3 first down with his legs, no problem.
Right.
He's a very athletic, tough kid, competitor. And I think they're going to cut 2.5 under the key number at home, coming off a tough loss. I really like Louisville to bounce back and get this win and cover that line. And that's all I got. That's the rest.
Man, you're bringing heat on those last two, man. Yeah. That was good. That was a good heat. I was getting excited.
I really love that good logic. Pick. That was Louisville. Good. Yeah.
It was good. Did you get excited? Because you like seeing those tickets in your bankroll blow up when it's like that. Yeah. And again, half of this is math, pattern recognition. North Carolina has been an inflated line team all year. And then Liberty, again, same thing with them, oversold stock.
Yeah.
So, all right, final last word, Dylan.
Yeah, so I really enjoyed this. I'm so excited for the games tomorrow. Probably the best thing I heard tonight, though, was when Chad was saying, Josh, is something you always say, too, about how you never give a pick that we don't do a ton of research on. I think that's something exactly. That three of us, we all came with good research today. And for any of the listeners out there, that's got to be the number one thing, I think, in gambling. When you put in a pick that you're confident about, you're more excited about it, and feels even better when you hit it because you know you put in the work for it. So, definitely, yeah.
100%. And this is a business meeting with a purpose and an outcome. I paid for a lot of stuff with betting money. My wife hasn't bought gasoline since 2011. So this is business, and you have to do your research in business. That's number two rule of betting. Besides, never bet your own team. And you don't have to pay Action Sports $300 a month. All you have to do is listen to the podcast and follow us on Twitter. We're giving you this stuff, not because of philanthropy or religion. It's because it's business. The more you give, the more you get back. That's why Winston Churchill said, you make a living from your labor, but you make a life from what you give. Thank you for listening to the ESPC Sports Betting Podcast.
That's why this sport don't cost $800, and that costs $200. And I don't know what that costs, I'd be ashamed to work. That's why I'm worth losing.